right, everybody. Time for church. Come on in. Find a seat. Obviously, kids are with us for worship tonight. But we are going to stand for worship in just a minute. A couple things real quick. Reminders for you. Don't forget our spring semester. And it is technically rolling into spring, believe it or not. But our spring semester of small groups is in full swing. So if you want to get connected to a small group, let me know. And we'll hook you up with it at the back table. The backboard, I'm sorry, there's a list of our small groups, when they meet, who leads it, and all that stuff, but we'd love to answer questions about that for you. And also, new sign-up sheet back there, the first Saturday of April, we have our next men's breakfast at 9 in the morning, so go ahead and sign up for that. And by the way, guys, the subject of men's breakfast this coming time is the book of Philemon. So between now and the first Saturday of April, if you want to take a look in there and read that, that's what be our topic of discussion. Also at the back table, there is a Dream Team sign-up list. So if you attend here, this is your home church, but you're not involved in a Dream Team, we'd love to hook you up in the various ways that people serve in our church. So that's the back table. If you have questions, you can see me about that. Having said that, let's stand up on our feet tonight. How many of you know, I know it's Wednesday, it's the middle of the week, you've been through work for 3 days now, you're looking forward to Friday, but it's nice to be able to come in the middle of the week and focus back on Jesus, amen? Amen. Take time to be with him. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to worship, spend a little time in the Word, but let's give our hearts to him one more time tonight, consecrate our hearts. Let's worship together.
Yeah.
live streamers, I'm assuming you're watching on live stream tonight also. Give everybody a chance to get their kids checked in downstairs. I'm glad you're here. Tithe and offering, if you have something to give tonight, you can prepare that envelope and chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around. One of the ushers will help you out and give you a second to take care of that. While you're putting that together, I'm going to have Drew just come up and down the aisle with the basket tonight instead of you guys coming down in just a minute. Don't forget tomorrow, we're celebrating Tom's life, Tom Burkholder, longtime member of our church. And I always called Tom the elder statesman of our church, not just because he was the oldest, which he was, but the very first time I had an opportunity to meet him, when he introduced himself to me, I knew this guy, he's got some wisdom. And this is the guy I'm going to be able to lean on in this church, and that's what I did. So that's tomorrow at Vernon Funeral Home over here in town. Visitation with the families from 11 to 2, and then the funeral service starts at 2 o'clock. So, and of course, Pat's here tonight, but we're going to honor Tom tomorrow and spend some time in remembrance of him tomorrow. So if you can be there, obviously, our church family, we're going to gather together for that. All right, so having said that, let me pray over offering tonight, and Drew's just going to walk around with that basket. You can, you know, make a three-point shot from where you're sitting. Whatever you want to do, put it in that basket. Lord, I thank you that you are provider, you are good, you are faithful, you are everything that the scriptures say you are. We believe. And as we give tonight, once again, a testimony to your faithfulness, to the increase of our lives, Lord. And we simply believe whether the finances of our nation are good or whether they're not so good, you are always going to provide. And we lean on you more than anything, that you always are opening doors and making ways. And we thank you for that. We honor you in that way in our giving tonight in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. So Drew's got the baskets. Come on around, Drew. And they can wave at you if they got it. While he's doing that, this is new for tonight. Next Wednesday starts 40 days till Easter, believe it or not. Now, today in some denominations, today was Ash Wednesday. They count Ash Wednesday as 40 days to Easter, but they don't include Sundays in that count. The actual day count to 40 days to Easter starts next Wednesday. If you are interested, there is a scripture reading guide that starts next Wednesday, the 12th, and leads all the way up to Resurrection Sunday. These are at the back table. And all it is a simple scriptures highlighting the death and the resurrection of Jesus over these 40 days. And then, of course, starting the second week of it, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are the gospel readings of the arrest and the crucifixion and then the resurrection of Jesus on that Sunday. So anyhow, these are at the back. You can pick one of these up and take it with you. And starting next Wednesday, you can spend the next 40 days in the scriptures concerning the death and the resurrection of Jesus, of which our faith is hinged to. Amen. Because if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, as Paul has written, then what we believe is in vain. We hold to it. We believe. Amen. All right, so you can pick one of those up on your way out tonight. All right, if you got your Bibles, we've been talking. I said I was done talking about this last week, but then it didn't happen, so we're talking about it tonight. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Starting next Wednesday, our series is going to be about the battles of the mind, dealing with strongholds. We're going to do a month on the mind starting next week. And then when that's over, I've been kicking this can down the road. I've had this written down for probably about a year, and I've just been kicking this can down the road. But starting after that, we're going to spend a month. I'm going to talk to you about angels. I'm going to talk to you about the devil. I'm going to talk to you about demons, what the scriptures say about it, maybe some things that people say about that aren't in the scriptures. So we're going to spend a month dealing with that stuff after we deal with your mind, the struggles of the mind, which is starting next week. And, of course, Sundays, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We're still in the Beatitudes. And this Sunday, we're in the last of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Next Sunday, and then blessed you when you're persecuted and so forth. So that's this Sunday. So we've been having a good, I think, challenging time in the Beatitudes, and I'm looking forward to that time again this Sunday. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number one. We've been talking about trials, struggles, things that we face. And we've been actually talking about trials in such a way of what it means for you and even the purpose of trials and what God can do in the midst of our trials and what that means for us. So I promise you, I'm closing out with it tonight. We're done with this after tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. We were in, I believe, chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians last week. It says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. And we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And Paul, in his writings, is often needing to feel like he defends himself against things people are saying amongst the group of people who he's writing to. Verse 3, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, the enemy, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim to you is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of glory to God in the face of Jesus Christ. And amen. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, talking about the physical body, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now here comes some encouragement in our trials. And watch how Paul actually is encouraging, optimistic in a way of the things that we face. For we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. This continual act of dying to ourselves. So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Now, going back to what Paul was saying just a few moments ago, you may have been through a lot. How many of you got some stories to tell? My goodness, yeah. You may have been up the road, down the road, around the block more than once. You could tell some stories of trials and afflictions and the things that you have faced in this messed up world. And you're going to. There's just no way around it. I wish that one of two things. I wish that I could give you a bubble that you could live in that simply protected you from all the bad stuff of life. It does not exist. Or on the other hand, I wish I could give you the easy button. Every time something happens, you smack the easy button, everything just gets great. I've got no easy buttons to give. You've been there, you've been through it, or you may be in the middle of it, but I like what Paul says here. Watch what he says. Yeah, I've been afflicted, but I have not been crushed. I've been perplexed, but I have not been driven to despair. I've been persecuted, but I have not been forsaken. I've been struck down, but I have not been destroyed. And there's the encouragement that Paul says. You may go through all of those things, but you're still sitting here. And you still have life in front of you, regardless of what life was like behind you. And such is life if you will see it that way. See, some of you have been, as Paul writes there, afflicted. And you may even be coming out of that affliction, but you can't help but focus on the affliction that you've been in. And you sort of stay there. You may have been perplexed by something. You just don't simply understand why it happened. It wasn't fair. Why me? When even this person over here who's not even living for Jesus, look how great their life is. That's perplexing. And you just can't get the focus off that sort of thing. You may have fallen down and bloodied your knees. You got back up, but you're just still mad that you fell down. Or maybe even madder because somebody pushed you down. And now you're just mad at them and you're mad at the world because somebody's treating you in an unfair way. And you just can't see beyond where you've been. Paul takes a different approach. I've been through all that stuff, but here I am. And life is going to keep going. What am I going to do with it? And see, trials that we face, all the things that we can possibly learn. Remember, you will never grow and learn perseverance until you go through something. And until you go through something, there'll be a lack of maturity in your life because as James writes, testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance does work, so we may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. Instead of learning and growing in perseverance, you're stuck in where you were. You see? We talked last week at the beginning of this letter from Paul. Paul was writing, he said, listen, all the things we went through ultimately for you anyways. We were saying, can you imagine being that kind of person that when you're in the middle of trial and affliction, you're thinking, man, this is going to benefit somebody else later. Can you imagine having that mentality? That's what Paul was saying. You'll never think that way if you stay stuck in what happened. Frustrated and upset and woe is me about it. You're here regardless of what you have been through or what you may be in right now. You're here. And you have an opportunity to gain a perspective of a life that though you've been there, you have not been completely crushed. Beyond the recognition of anything useful. Do you realize that God will use you in life? Some of the best ways God uses you in life is because of what you have been through to help somebody that's going through it. But sometimes you'll never get there when you stay stuck in where you were. Right? See, the Christian life is a life where we realize, you come to some understanding that even if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, God is there with me. You may get frustrated, God, if you're with me, why am I in this valley in the first place? How did I end up here if you're with me? You can get stuck on that question so much, you forget the whole time he's saying, I'm with you, let's just keep going. Let's keep moving. We don't have to stay here, right? But it may be the reason you're in the valley at the end of the day wasn't something God did, but yet God will use it for something for his glory if you will allow yourself to come out of it. But sometimes coming out of it is mental. Dealing with a new way of thinking and not being trapped into the way you became to think while you're in the midst of what you were going through, if you allowed it to get in there and have its way. Something we said the first time we were talking about trials. Remember this. If you look hard enough, the goodness of God is around you. If you'll look. Even in the midst of your trial. The goodness of God is there if you pay attention. You see, it's often that we don't see what God had been doing until sometimes we turn around and gain perspective, how the grace of God was interweaved in our life the entire time. I believe that sometimes you don't have to wait till that moment. Sometimes if you start to pay attention enough where you are, you can see his goodness. And that is when you can say, I've been knocked down, but I have not been crushed. I'm afflicted, but it hasn't taken everything. I've been struck down, but I have not been destroyed. Therefore, always, 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 I have hope. See, one of the biggest things that can happen when you are in the midst of something is to remind yourself of hope. Hope in who? God. Not hope in hope itself, but hope in God. Because, again, if you will pay attention, God is with you even in the valley of the shadow of death. And if God is with you there, then there is always hope. And you're never without hope. That he is not only with you, Jesus says that he will be with us even to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit has come. They were never left alone in the things that we are going through, ever. Therefore, I have hope. And when I have hope, when you have hope, you'll say something like this, man, I've been struck down, my goodness, but I'm not destroyed. You will always say that stuff when you have hope. A lot of us, I'm struck down, my goodness, this is the end of it. I don't even know what to do. I don't know how I can carry on. I don't know what to do next. Now, when you have hope, you'll say, yeah, I'm being persecuted, but it's okay because I'm not forsaken. Amen. See what hope does? Hope gives you a better perspective than your moment. And when you have hope, you'll never give up. And when you have hope, you'll always know that I don't have to stay stuck in certain mentalities and certain ways of well, what I've become maybe. I can get out of this and through this. That's hope. And we know the great hope of Scripture is the return of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, all things being made new. But I have hope today, even now, right in the midst of my life too. I hope for that. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. But until that happens, I have hope. You realize that only one of the only reasons that I pastor people in life is because I have hope. If I didn't have hope, I'd have no hope for you. I wouldn't know what to tell you to do. What are we doing? Let's just all give up. But I have hope. My hope says this, that no matter where I'm at today, God is there, and He, not because I'm so smart or so wise or so strong or anything of me, but He is wise and He is strong and He is who He is. Therefore, I am going to have a way to keep going. I have hope. And my hope is that He's meeting me right where I'm at. Even if I've been knocked down, knocked out of sorts, knocked off the path, He's there. And I have the same hope for you. And I believe so strongly in this is that I do what I do with my life. And I don't believe I'm wasting my time. I believe that God is with you right where you are. And He's paying attention to you so much, He knows the number of hairs on your head. And listen, He knows the number of hairs on your head when you're standing up or when you've been knocked down. That didn't change. He's that much with you. And I believe so strongly that even if you've been knocked down, that the hope is that He's going to get you back up and see you through. And I know some of you have been through a lot worse stuff than me. My story is not the worst out there as far as things you've been through in life. But then I also believe that there's nothing too big, nothing too great, nothing that has been so damaging that He can't meet you there and see you through. And the damage of life, see, when Jesus was raised from the dead, remember doubting Thomas? He heard the reports that, well, Jesus visited with the disciples. He saw it, and I ain't going to believe it until I actually see the nail marks and stuff, right? And Thomas gets this big bad rap. That's all we remember him about. He was a good dude, probably. He just had a moment. It gets recorded in the Bible, and that's how we remember him, right? Remember, Jesus shows up. He says, hey, touch me. See, when Jesus was raised from the dead, He still bore the scars of what He went through. But those scars became a testimony in a way. See, when you go through things in life, God takes you in a healing process. You're still going to bear the scars of what you've been through. You're still going to see the scars. I have a scar right here where my chemo port was. And I have a scar right here where they cut me open and took out a large portion of my colon. I have a scar back on my back where they cut a cancer spot off my skin. I've got scars. But I'm healed. And see, what I could do is I could go to somebody that's in the midst of their cancer treatment right now. Say, look, I can show you this. Look at this scar right here. I've been where you're at. And here I am today. You're going to make it. I believe you're going to pull through. I know this is hard. Listen, chemo's terrible. But you're going to be all right. You got to just keep at it. Keep going. Keep your mind on top of it. Don't give up. I know there's days you don't want to get up. Got to keep moving. Keep active, you know? It's the way it works with all the different things we go through. See, that God that is with you and gives you hope is the God who sees you through and the God who then uses the scars of your life as your healing to be a testimony to somebody that's where you were. You've been through a divorce. You survived. You may come across somebody that's going through one right now. You can help. You've dealt with drugs in your past. You've been delivered. You're through it. You may come across somebody that's in it right now that needs some encouragement. You may have found yourself in a financial mess, bankrupt. But God saw you through. You come to a place of stability. You may come across somebody right now that's in the middle of a financial mess. You can show them the scars. That's the wonder of what God does. Everything that God will do for you, he then turns it out for other people. And that's what Paul was writing a couple chapters ago, which we talked about last week. The things that I'm going through right now, how's this going to benefit somebody else? That's somewhat of an attitude of life. So, by the fact that you're here, you're going to make it. God is going to see you through. And you're going to have a story to tell. And you're going to have a scar to show. That is a God who reaps where he did not sow. A God who is working in this lost and messed up world, as the parable says, the yeast is working through the dough. It's happening. It's working. That process of your life is part of all things being made new that we're headed towards in fulfillment. See, he's doing those things. So first, A, number one, if you're going through it right now, you're here. You haven't been completely crushed. Get a new perspective. If you've been through it, God, how can you use me to help somebody else? How can you use my story as an encouragement? You open your eyes and start to look. You'd be surprised what you come across, right? In other words, at the end of life, I heard somebody say this. When they said it, I was like, is that actually scriptural? And I thought about it for a little bit. It sounds good, but is it true? And the more I thought about it, it started to ring something to me. When you're able to look back in perspective at your life, you will say, ultimately, maybe no bad thing has really happened to me. You say, well, yeah, bad stuff did happen. But when God uses it for his glory, it changes that perspective a little bit. You see what I'm getting at? It changes it. Yeah. That's what God is doing right now in the midst of this lost and dying world. He brings life to it in part through those who've experienced his life-giving. It's in the sharing of the gospel and salvation. It is the proclamation of the good news of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. But it is also then the things that we go through in everyday life. He's speaking life. And here we are, his hands, we're his feet, we're his eyes, his ears, we're his mouthpiece, empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and used by him. So you may never have some big, well-known international ministry. Probably better not. Let me just say that. I'm kidding. But man, what you do with things like this is just as great as anything anybody else does. That's God using you. It's not about a platform. Don't worry about platforms. What are you doing with your life? Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray that we have perspective of life, that we see things the way you see it. Lord, anybody here that's in the midst of something, thing. Give them perspective. They're still here. You're with them. Somehow, some way, they're getting through. I thank you for that. And I pray beyond that, Lord Jesus, that you are able to use each one of us in special, specific, certain situations with people around us because of the story of our life, to make such a difference for other people is an amazing thing. And I thank you, Lord, that you are making all things new, and I thank you that we get to be in on it. I thank you for that, Lord. So, Lord, use us and guide us, and each day that we stay encouraged, but we're an encouragement to other people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. All right. Well, good to have you tonight. If you need anything to pray, need a prayer tonight, come on down. We'd love to pray with you. If not, Sunday morning, come on out, invite somebody out. We're looking forward to our time together on Sunday.